Hey, Everyday Podcast Gang! How are we doing, family? Hope you're fine, my darling. Hope you're good. Hope your week hasn't really been so stressful. Hope you're doing very, very well. Welcome to another beautiful episode of the Everyday Podcast. You know how we do it here. We talk about everything concerning our everyday lives, everyday realities, honest stories, candid opinions, and amazing discussions. And so if you hear my voice for the very first time, my name is Olivia. I'm a podcaster, a voiceover artist, and content creator living right here in Nigeria. So feel free, my darling, if you're a returning listener, thank you so much for always coming back. And if you are a first-time listener, please do well to relax and be part of this beautiful, amazing family. All you have to do is to be part of the family, go straight to our social media platforms. On Instagram, the handle is the_Olivia, THE_OHLIVIA. Facebook also, the page is The Everyday Podcast. Just go like the page and you're part of this beautiful, happy family. And guys, please don't forget, as always, you know the drill, go and like this podcast, please. Whatever platform you're using to listen to this podcast, please, when you're done or even while you're at it, please do well to like this podcast. Give us a 5-star rating, you know, so that a lot of people will be part of the family, will get to know more about this podcast, and our community would grow. Also, guys, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast because lots of amazing stuff go down here, right? You know. So, guys, please do well to like, share, subscribe, rate this podcast. It would definitely mean so much to me. And so with that said, let's dive right straight into this episode. So on this episode, I'm sure by the title you already know, we're going to have a very candid discussion about something very unpopular in this part of the world. And most black men actually never ever admit or come out to talk about these things. Beautifully, we have two guests on this episode sharing their experiences on being sexually abused. This is one conversation that we never ever get to hear in this part of the world. Everyone comes out to speak about abuse against women, females being raped and all that, but no one ever comes out to admit as a man that he has been raped. People hardly ever have conversations around that line. And so on this episode, we're going to have these conversations. We have two guests on this episode and they will be sharing with us what the experience was being raped. Yes, you heard that. They're going to share their experiences and spill all the tea for us on this episode. And so guys, let's dive right straight to listen to their stories, and when we come back, I will definitely share my thoughts on this particular issue. Okay guys, don't go anywhere, let's listen to their stories. Okay,
any form of rape is disgusting. It's hurts at a place where so many people do not even have language to express. My name is Onyango Otieno and I'm a rape survivor. I wasn't angry when the abuse happened. I was confused. It had been my first sexual engagement and it came in such a harrowing experience. I ended up getting a sexually transmitted infection. It dawned on me 10 years later after my rape ordeal that I had actually been violated, because I had been going through therapy. And it's during the therapy process that I actually realized that something had happened to me back there. There are so many people who actually ridicule me coming out with my story. Most of them happen to be men because they don't think, a boy can be raped, a man can be raped. Most of them think I actually enjoyed the experience. I had people I trusted who I could talk to, and I was lucky. But I also realized that for many men out there, that was not the reality. And that was one of the reasons why I started voicing out my stories. I'm happy, I'm strong, I am healthy, I am productive. And the fact that I have done a lot of the inner work is one of the reasons why I'm even able to do this advocacy now, because I'm not particularly very affected by even the stories I hear every day.
Oh my God, you definitely agree with me that was one deep conversation right there. Okay, let's reserve our thoughts and comments on this and let's listen to our second guest story on being sexually molested by his cousin at the tender age of 8.
I was abused when I was about 8. That's what I remember. It was from an older male cousin. Just from what I've researched and things that I'm now looking back on, every predator goes through a grooming stage where they're trying to get close to you, they're trying to befriend you, and that's pretty much what it was. He was older than all of my cousins that lived in the house. You know, and then he just started asking me questions about, oh, do I have a girlfriend? And I didn't have a girlfriend. I like girls. I saw some pretty girls in school, but I didn't know anything about girls or, you know, anything like that. So it started off as, you know, something grooming like that. Oh, hey, yeah, sleep in our room tonight. It was him and his brother, and my other cousins were all in their own rooms where we used to sleep together in the same room. Me and my cousins that grew up, like, we'd share the same bed, and that was normal. So, oh, you can sleep in my room. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, this is a new cousin I never knew. And then it just slowly began to get sexualized. Like, oh, have you ever kissed a girl? And at this point, I don't know how long we were bunking in the same room here and there. Like, you know, I would leave my room and go sleep in their room. And then he's like, oh, I'll show you, but you can't tell anybody. And at the time, I mean, I was 8 years old. For a large portion, I blame myself. Like, I felt like I should have known better. Like, if somebody asked me to do something like that, I knew it was wrong. Like, I wouldn't kiss any of my other cousins or ask somebody to do something like that. Why would I allow that? And that's how it started. Like, oh, I'll show you, but you can't tell anybody. And he'd wait for everybody to be asleep. It'd be late at night. Oh, I'll show you. And then it kind of slowly started to progress from, hey, this is how you do it. And it always, something always felt awkward or weird. It was like, this doesn't feel right, but I didn't know what to do. Like, you know, like, I guess he's showing me something. He's like my older cousin. I'm supposed to respect him. And he was a teenager. He's probably at least 16, 17 at the time. But I didn't know what was happening. And then it just slowly began to get more sexualized, more abusive. You know, him asking me to do things to him, then him doing stuff to me. Then it became almost like rape at that point. And I remember at one point, he was abusing me and his brother at, you know, at the same time, like trying to make us do stuff to him and vice versa. And I remember specifically one time he was asking me, or he told me, you know, I'm gonna suck your dick or something like that. And I remember I couldn't do anything, but I was so fed up at that point. The only thing I could do, you know, I was like, I'm gonna pee on him. Or, you know, when he did that, I would pee on him or pee in his mouth or something like that to stop him. That was the only way I could stop him from doing what he was doing. And he stopped. But then I remember him being so angry. Did you pee on me? Did you pee? And I was like, no, I didn't. But when I realized that he stopped and that made him stop, like whatever that grossed him out, he was like, all right, I'm done. I'm not doing anything else. That's when I realized I can actually stop him from doing what he was doing, but I couldn't physically like do anything to him. That was the only way I could. And I remember I had suggested to him, like, I'm gonna tell on you or something like that. And he was like, if you say anything, and I'll kill you. I'll kill your mom. I'll kill grandma. I'll kill everybody inside here. Like, you better not say shit to anybody. And my dad would pick me up bi-weekly. That was the custody situation. My mom, I remember at that point, I'm like, I don't care if he kills anybody. Like, he can kill me. He can kill my grandparents. Like, I don't care. Like, you're not getting away. I'm going to tell somebody. And my dad, he picked me up. And I think from what they told me, I told my dad, you know, like, what was happening. And my dad called my mom and told her. And then I remember my dad bringing me back to our house in Queens. And my mom, she sat down with me and she's like, we're gonna get everybody in the living room. And I want you to tell grandma, I want you to tell grandpa, I want you to tell everybody what happened. We're gonna bring everybody here, him, Lester, we're gonna bring his mom, and we're gonna sit down. I want you to tell me what happened. And I just remember I was so afraid. I was like crying. I was like, I don't wanna get in trouble. She's like, you're not gonna get in trouble. Just say what happened. We all sat down and he's right in front of me. And I just remember him looking at me. It's just like one of those looks like, you better not tell on me. Like, everybody's here. Like, you better not tell on me. And I was like, I don't care. Like, if you are gonna kill anybody, you might as well do it now. Kill me, kill everybody. Cause I'm telling. And I told, I remember my mom, everybody knew I was telling the truth. I could tell. And by his reaction, by my reaction, everybody knew I was telling the truth. And then there was just like a whole bunch of commotion. There was probably about 10 of us in, at least 10 of us inside there, between my cousins, my, they didn't have all the cousins there, but most of the adults were in there. And then everybody just started jumping up. People were running all around. I think my mom said she was going to get her gun. She was going to shoot him. And his mom grabbed him and they fled. They ran out the house. And my mom took me straight to the precinct to file a police report. None of the relationships I had in high school worked, you know, all my girlfriends were, I was just a mean kid, you know. I just didn't know how to deal with, you know, girls or intimacy. And I went into college, it kind of is the same thing. You know, sometimes I'd have so much sexual anxiety, like, and I'd be intimate with my girlfriends and I'd instantly lose interest, like, in the middle of everything, like, just done. And they'd be like, what is wrong? Like, what happened? And I'd be so embarrassed because I couldn't tell them what it was. It could have been a flash of something that just instantly, it didn't feel right. Something felt weird and it just threw me out of the mood, but I couldn't tell them. And then I was like, well, then they're probably gonna think I'm fucking gay because how does a straight guy just lose interest like that? But I couldn't tell them what happened because I was afraid. I'm like, if I tell them, they're gonna be like, this kid is screwed up. Something's wrong with him. Like, I don't wanna deal with that baggage. And then I think my first girlfriend that I told was months into our relationship and something similar happened. I just kind of, we're in the middle of doing whatever and I just lost interest. She's like, well, like, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I gotta tell you something. And I just told her, I'm like, you know, when I was 8 and I was abused by, you know, one of my cousins. And, you know, sometimes I just get flashes of things, or if I feel, I just have a lot of sexual anxiety. And sometimes it's just how it manifests. I wasn't that articulate then. I was 21 or 20 or something, whatever. And she just started crying. And then we were just both crying. I remember, I'm like, why are you crying? Why are you crying? I should be the one crying. And she's like, I didn't know. And like, I wish you had told me. I really did love her. And I trusted her, so. She was actually the first girl I did fall in love with. Like, all my other girlfriends, I just wouldn't let them in. They'd get to a point where it would start to be like, okay, this is kind of serious. And then I would start sabotaging. I'd start distancing myself. I'm already a little bit distant anyway. But then it would be like really distant in a relationship. It's like, well, how are you gonna be this way with somebody you've been with? And it was just like, whatever, I don't care. And then after a while, people can only take so much of whatever, I don't care. And they're like, whatever, maybe he really doesn't care. And then you just leave. And then I would just move on. I would just shrug it off as another person who's leaving and, you know, just do my own thing. I went to my friend's school. She teaches at an alternative school in Connecticut. And I went to talk to her students. A lot of her students are kids that come from similar backgrounds, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse. So they're not doing well in the actual high school. So now they're in this alternative high school, kind of transitioning, or some of them are going to be there permanently. Others transitions into like juvenile detentions because they're not functioning. So I went there to talk to them. I brought my artwork. I remember sitting in there, I was talking, this is probably about a month and a half ago. It's the first time I actually got to go and speak to students like this. And, you know, I talked to my friend. She's like, well, what are you going to talk to them about? And I was like, I'm just going to tell them my story, like who I am, what I'm doing, and that I'm not that different from them. You know, I grew up in the city just like they did. You know, I just happened to go to college and do some stuff. But the difference is I just made a different choice. You know, I could have fought my way through high school. I could have been in juvie. You know, I could have done all this stupid shit. And I had the opportunities to do it, but I just didn't. And I sat there, I talked to them. Some of them, you know, I could tell I was getting through to some of them. Some of them were getting triggered, so they're like, ah, fuck this, I gotta leave. And then they came back. I was there for about an hour and a half. But when I left, some of the students, they came up to me and they're like, some of them opened up to me and they're like, you know, I was abused. You know, I didn't want to leave you out there, Hank. You know, you said it, so, you know, I had to say it. And then the teacher, my friend, she was like, you know, a lot of these kids, some of them haven't said it. You know, they come to us with records that we know, but they haven't told us. And, you know, just to have some of these kids, like, you know, coming and relating to me like that, you know, I felt like, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to do with my art or with my story. Like, if one person, whoever it is, says like, hey, you know, that's kind of like me, but not me, like, they can talk about it. And then, you know, if they talk about it, then they can see signs, they can recognize things, they could stop a pattern.
Wow. Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Do I need to say any other thing, really? I don't feel like I really need to say much, but let me just throw my six cents into this particular issue right here. I'm so happy that these stories are beginning to come to light and people are seeing the need to voice out more. It's happening right under our noses. It's no longer a thing about, oh, the Western world. It's right with us right here. And I'm so happy that regardless of the myths going on, wrong information going on, some people are still finding strength in sharing their stories. Guys, this is not a myth. It's happening right under our noses. You know, we grew up in this African society that is so patriarchal, and there's a lot of strength attributed to men. Oh, men are tough. Men have so much independence. Men are stronger. And it's making a lot of men not to be able to come out about this, because they feel like, if I come out, my manliness is degraded. My masculinity is brought down low. And that is so, so wrong, guys. I'm so happy that people are beginning to come out. And please, if you have similar issues, please come out and talk about it. Let's debunk this myth. Guys, one in every 10 rape victims is a man. So it's right with us. It's happening with us. And we need to shed more light on this. People are asking, oh, can men be raped? Oh, I thought it's only women that get raped. No, men also get raped. If you have conversations with the younger children, people within the age of 8 to 20 or even above, they tell you that things are happening. Some boys get raped by guys. Some little boys also get raped by the adult females too. And it's so crazy. Like, it's so, so crazy. All around us, basically, these things are happening. And please, guys, also try as much as possible. I feel like I need to emphasize the fact that we need to listen to the younger children when they talk. Because trust me, you might think, oh, these ones don't know anything, they're still children. But they might definitely be going through one or two things. So if you're a parent, also try as much as possible to be your child's friend. And most people don't really like talking about all these things, but at the end of the day, it makes our society full of scarred men. It makes our society full of bruised men, men that have not dealt with the past. And it affects the relationship, it affects family, it affects every single thing about the society that we live in. I know the stigma is there. When you come out to tell the story of how you've been molested or something, people tend to look at you in some kind of way, and sometimes you might feel like, oh, your masculinity is degraded. But no, you're definitely going to help someone. And trust me, you're also going to heal when you share your stories. Also, I know people feel like there's no support group, but I can bet that there are support groups now that actually entertain male vulnerability, where men can actually share their stories and be very vulnerable without any judgment at all. I'm definitely going to put the link to the support groups that I know in the description box. Yes, guys. And finally, if you find yourself talking to a rape victim, please do well to just open up your heart to the person. Do not judge the person. It's taking people a lot of nerve to come out to voice out about these things. So the least you could do is just judge people or look at people in some funny way. Open up your heart to listen to the person. Don't judge the person. Care for the person a lot more. Be that shoulder to lean on. And please, let's continue to spread the word. Honestly speaking, if you have a child, tell your child, if someone looks at you funny, it's not okay. If someone touches you funny, it's not okay. Things that are wrong are totally wrong. And I'm gonna end by saying this word from one of the guests on the show. He said that there is no justification for any kind of rape done anywhere at all. There is no justification for any kind of rape done to any gender, anywhere, anyhow. Okay guys, if you loved this episode, let me know your thoughts. Go straight to our social media platforms and let's share more stories. Have you been raped before? How did you overcome it? Are you in the journey? Are you still healing? If you have a rape victim and you've talked to the person, how did you go about it? How did you support the person? How did you make the person feel comfortable to open up to you? Is there a support group? Let's share more conversations on our social media platform on Instagram and on Facebook. It'll be linked in the description box. And do well also to like this podcast, subscribe to this podcast, and recommend this podcast to someone, okay? So guys, from me to you, be good, be fine, and I pray that you find the grace to heal and go past every scar, every bruise, and everything that you might be going through as a result of the effect of what has happened to you. I love you so much, okay? Have an amazing, amazing, amazing day. Mwah.